time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. How's it going, everybody? Don Nicastro, weekly show here on MSONewsSports.com, talking about all things Merrimack Valley, not just the conference, but any school that falls within the valley geographically. And we're here to bring you those stories, coaches, athletes. Hell, even we're going to Southern New Hampshire, as you've heard Tom King from Nash Shore Telegraph on many times. He'll give us the scoop from the Granite State. So, all right, we are here. We are raring to go. We have a fun interview coming up. Two twin brothers, baseball players out of Andover, and they're a battery. Awesome. I can't wait for this one. That's coming after the break. And then after that, we'll do a little football report in the Valley, see who's playing where on opening weekend. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salt. Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, we're back at it with our, I usually say, fellas, our one and only guest today, but it's our two and only guest, I guess we say today. So the Gillette brothers, the twins out of Andover baseball and hockey, Chris and Ryan. Fellas, just shout out. How's it going?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Chris, we'll start with you.
Perfect.
You know, you guys had a busy summer with baseball. Just bring us up to speed on what kept the Gillette brothers busy in the summer months for your favorite sport. Is it your favorite sport, baseball?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it was a really packed summer, actually. We were traveling everywhere. So we started off the week of our finals in school, the weekend, the finals were split up. The weekend, we were down in Jersey. So it was very packed. It started early. Then we ended up going to Omaha. We ended up going to Georgia, New Jersey again, and then a lot of other tournaments, basically in Western Mass. So it was a really packed summer. It was really good and a lot of fun with our teammates.
Yeah. Now, Chris, sticking with you, do they keep the battery intact with the Gillette brothers, with you being the lefty pitcher and Ryan being the catcher? Does that work out in AAU as well, or do they split you up?
Yeah, it does, actually. I think there's one instance where I threw to the other catcher on our team, but usually it's Ryan and I.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, give us your summer perspective. Like, what kinds of things did you hope to accomplish, you know, in the summer, and how did it go? And, you know, how's Chris doing? Did he add any velocity, new pitches? Is he doing any better?
So I would say coming into the summer, it was definitely looking to get recruited. That was a big goal of mine. And, you know, I went to a lot of camps, went to a lot of college camps, played a lot of tournaments with my friends in front of a lot of coaches. So I was able to achieve that, luckily, which was really great. And then our other goal was just to have a successful summer. You know, I wanted to improve myself, carry my my high school season into my club season. And then lastly, just have a lot of fun with my friends. And I've been playing with some of those guys for, you know, 5 or 6 years now. And it was just, it's and coming in probably gonna be my last year. So I really just want to enjoy the moment with them and have a great summer, which we did. So I'm super thankful for that. And then Chris, I would say definitely improved throughout the summer. I mean, he did develop a new pitch, actually, his cutter. So that worked out pretty well. But he definitely improved on and off the, or I'm sorry, at both sides of the field, whether it was pitching or hitting.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall, it was a great summer.
Where does the lefty cutter, does it go like in away from a lefty and into a righty? Or well, how does that work? How does the cutter spin?
All right. So if there's a righty hitter, it goes towards his hands. Yeah. Okay. So it was a very effective pitch. I wouldn't say it was like a huge strikeout pitch, but almost nobody could really barrel it up because, you know, you see the spin, you think it's a curveball, but it doesn't move as much as a curveball and it kind of runs up on you. So yeah. It was super effective.
Yeah, that's where, you know, Mariano Rivera lived. I mean, mm-hmm. Forget it. You couldn't get the barrel on the ball. And mm-hmm. Chris, is that like, you know, not to give it away, the Merrimack Valley kids are listening, but we're going to think that's you're going to stick with that one? The cutter's going to be in the repertoire officially?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited for next year. Really utilize it. I flashed it in a couple games towards the end of the season. I didn't really master it, but I feel like towards the end of the summer, I definitely got a feel for it, and hopefully it'll be effective for me in spring.
Yeah. Where are you living, roughly, velocity-wise, with the fastball?
Oh, mid-80s usually from the left side. So, yeah, it's good. Obviously, I want to keep trying to get better. So, in this offseason, trying to get bigger, stronger, faster, all of that's good stuff, and I'll hopefully improve until next year.
You know, AAU, you guys pay enough money. They should have some analytics, right? Do you get a breakdown on your pitches, like first strike, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, totally. So the pitching coach at Nor'easters, Matt Trotta, he's actually the Tewksbury assistant coach.
For Coach Feld? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, for Coach Feld. And he actually just took a job at Concord Carlisle. So he's moving out of the MVC, but he's an excellent coach. And I worked with him a ton, even though he is a rival. But I did work with him a ton, and I give a ton of my credit to him. Yeah. And I'm really thankful that I had him.
Was there one data point for you on the mound that you like took away and kind of like, oh, I didn't know that. Like every time I'm 0-2, I throw this and this happens or whatever. Any like sort of takeaways from the analytics?
I would say basically my changeup was not very good, but there was one good thing about it. I had good spin. Essentially, but I was choking it a bit too much. So I kind of try to loosen the grip, and that did help me. Yeah. And I'm really thankful for that.
When you choke it too much, does that slow it down or does it less drop to it? Like what happens?
I have no idea where it's going. I throw it into the ground every time. Yeah.
Change ups do that.
It was bad.
Okay. So it wasn't an effective drop. It was like a ball every time.
Oh yeah, like it wasn't even competitive. Yeah.
Ryan, from your perspective, what's the problem? Like what's gonna, you know, that change up is, does he need that to really be effective, like say next spring in the Valley?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like we throughout the spring we kind of realized that, you know, you need more than two pitches, you need more than the fastball curveball, and that's one reason why we did start to implement the cutter. But and so that we could kind of, you know, have that, but also be working on the changeup in the background. So I think, you know, this fall coming around, I think it's really, really an area of improvement. But I mean, he works really hard. He's a hardworking kid. I know he'll get it done. He has the strength, he has the speed, just kind of touch up some of the things on the changeup. And I think it'll be a really, really great year.
Yeah. A couple of no hitters as a sophomore. In those, Ryan, did you catch both of those games?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you guys were both sophomores. This was so that would be 2022. No, three. Really? You guys are sophomores in three, juniors in four, gonna be seniors in five. Tell me about those moments, those no hitters. What was what couldn't they hit mostly in on those days?
Yeah, it was a lot of the fastball. Honestly, I'm going to be completely honest. Those days, I got lucky. You know, my first start, I ended up throwing a no-hitter, which honestly it didn't really count
as a sophomore.
Yeah, wow. But I think it was just pure adrenaline. I was so pumped up for that. Yeah. That game. But honestly, I give a ton of credit to my brother too. You know, he was there, he called the pitches. He was able to calm me down. You know, when I got a little tensed up, throw three pitches, he's able to come, you know, calm down on the mound. And I'm unbelievably thankful for him. He's working so hard behind the plate. So I spike a curveball. He's getting there. And it helps me a ton because I know that he's going to block the ball. So I'm able to throw these pitches and set up pitches and I'm able to execute pitches. So I'm really thankful to have him back there.
Ryan, is he allowed to call off a pitch?
Certainly. I think a very important thing as a pitcher is having confidence in all your pitches. I think if you get the sign, you're like, and you kind of take it, you're like, oh, I don't really think it's the right call or I can't really have confidence in this pitch. I think it's so important to shake it off because I think there's almost no chance. I mean, there's no chance you throw for a strike. If you do, it's going to be down the middle and it's going to be hanging or it's going to be a lot slower because you're thinking about it. So I think it's really important just to have that free reign of having confidence in yourself and in your pitches. So absolutely.
Yeah. But in those moments where he's allowed to call off a pitch, but do you let him hear it if it doesn't go his way?
I will say sometimes, sometimes there was a couple times this summer and spring where I'll put down a sign and he'll try to shake it off and I'm like, oh no, that's what we're throwing. I'll put it down again. I'll keep putting it down until he takes it. Yeah. So
one.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain situations where I'm like, we got to throw this pitch.
Yeah.
To the center. We have to, where he does want to shake it off, but most of the time, you know, he does, I'll let him have confidence himself, but yeah.
Now, Chris, when I reference Bull Durham, do I have to explain myself or have you seen that movie?
I think you do. I'm sorry.
Okay. But it's old school. Forgive me. I'm 46 years old. So it's Kevin Costner. Do you even know that actor, Chris? Kevin Costner? Probably
sorry,
not.
He's old too.
He's wicked old.
I don't know.
All right. So Bull Durham is the Durham Bulls, the minor league baseball team.
Yeah.
Right. So AAA team for, holy moly, who are they the team for? Maybe the Braves.
I think it's Blue Jays.
Is it Blue Jays? Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
The town I live in is actually a AA team for the Blue Jays, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's AA, though. Anyway, so the catcher is Kevin Costner. He's throwing down one or whatever. And it was an off-speed pitch. He's like, no, man, I'm going to bring the heat. He kept shaking him off. And he comes up to the mound. He goes, can't do that. And then he goes back, and he goes, come on, man, I want to throw him a fastball. All right, whatever. Mm-hmm. Kevin Costner gets down and tells the batter fastball. So just to get, he hits it over way over the and then he comes out and was like, don't shake me off.
Yeah, no. Thankfully Ryan doesn't do that. But I will say, whenever Ryan keeps sticking it down, in retrospect, it's always the right call. So
yeah. And then I'm thankful to have him. Yeah, Ryan, you ever had to come out to the mound when there was a hard disagreement and be like, boy, dude, come on, man.
I wouldn't say there's a hard disagreement about pitch calls, but there's definitely been some disagreements about, you know, maybe some effort that one of us is giving or, you know, some sort of thing we should have done otherwise. Where we do, I will come out to the mound and maybe let him hear it or he'll let me hear it.
Yeah.
But nothing about pitch calls yet, but we do like to bicker a little bit, just kind of the heat of the moment.
Yeah. Let's backtrack because the first sport that's coming up for you guys is hockey. So, Ryan, tell me about your role on the team this year for the Warrior Icemen. What's going to happen?
As a captain this year, I definitely would like to get – I want to get our team playing earlier. So we do have this amazing half-season program where this town where we do have – where everyone – where we're fortunate enough for everyone to play it. So pretty much our whole high school team is playing this half season league. So we actually had our first practice today. So our high school team is pretty much already playing together right now, which I think is huge. And then I would say our biggest thing I would like to work on is either the power play, or I want to get our kind of our breakout systems or other systems that we use in the games all the time. I want to get those function a lot earlier than last year, because I think those give us a head start versus every other team. We have those ready to go.
Same question, Chris. Like, what's coming up for you personally, hockey-wise?
Yeah, so I actually had a different route. So I was on the team sophomore year. I took last year off. And honestly, it was one of the bigger regrets of my life. Hockey is so fun. So I'm coming back this year. I'm nice. Really excited to play. I'm going to switch to forward. I played defense my sophomore year. I'm going to switch to forward. And just going to try to score. We're going to have a really, really strong defense. And our goalie's unbelievable as well. So we just got to put in the puck. We just got to focus on putting the puck in the net. And if we're successful, I think we can do some big damage in NBC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who would be some of the top threats in the MVC this year, Chris? Because, you know, obviously even outside of the MVC, it's a shark tank, right? Massachusetts Division One hockey. It's like, you know, probably one of the best, definitely one of the best, high school states, obviously. And, so who are you thinking first though, in the Valley, that's going to be the top, threats?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for hockey, the MVC is actually merged with the Dual County League, the DCL. Right. So Westford Academy is in it. Westford's going to be very good. Billerick is going to be very legit. I'd say those two are definitely the favorites. You know, but every team's strong. It's Massachusetts high school hockey, as you said. Every team's very good.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be good. You know, Chelmsford's always legit. Tewksbury's in the one below us. Basically, there's three divisions.
The MVC dual number two.
Yeah, Tewksbury's in the one below us, but they're always very, very good.
State title winners a few couple years ago, and then they just missed it last year, right?
They're always quite good. But yeah, every team's very competitive. Anyone can beat anyone in every day.
Yeah. And Ryan, like, you know, if you're lucky to get a spot in the tournament, then you might play someone like Pope Francis or something in the first round. There's no more Elite Eight, none of that, and everyone's together. It's like, man. And then you see what happened with the prep last year, right? They got into the state finals against Winchester, and it was a controversial win. And
yeah, very controversial.
But that just, I mean, does that give you kind of confidence that a team like Winchester Public School, doesn't matter if they're private or Catholic, they got in?
No, totally. I mean, so funny story is last year preseason, we scrimmaged Winchester and we ended up beating them 4-2.
Wow.
So to see that team, you know, make it all the way to the finals. I mean, definitely not the most talented team, but they knew how to play together. And it was so important then to see them to see them come very close to beating a powerhouse like the prep and, you know, running through the Catholic Conference to get to the game was really inspiring. I mean, it shows how important like a close knit team can really go.
Yeah. It gives you like that, why not us feel, right?
Yeah. Why not us? Totally.
Exactly. And, you know, in terms of baseball, you know, you guys had a solid season last year, I think 13 win regular season, and then an early exit. I'm sure you obviously wanted to go farther in the tournament. Ryan, where are your thoughts with Andover baseball? And I'm telling you right now, I'm from Gloucester. Okay. And Andover Legion, I went to Andover, like I was going to pitch, and we go to Andover and we get there, and there's like a guy with a full beard pitching right in a game. I'm like, oh, that must be some kind of men's league. It was the Andover Legion team. I'm like, I got to play against these guys. I was pumped. I let up four runs only. But Andover's always been just so consistent with baseball for as long as I can remember. What are you thinking about where you guys have some opportunities in the spring?
I think we have some great opportunities. I mean, last year we went 13-7. I think everyone was disappointed for sure. We had a very young team in the field. This year we have, I want to say 10, we have 11 seniors on this team. So we're probably going to have, you know, 8 or 9 starting seniors. So we have a very old team. And I think that'll give us a little chip on our shoulder. Kind of everyone's playing like, this is it. It's this or die. So I think that'll bring a huge, huge factor into a lot of games we play, especially come the tournament. But I think this year will be, I think everyone will be focused. Everyone will be dialed in. And I think we'll do some really, really great things.
Yeah. What's on the plate for you, Chris, what's on your mind for Andover in the spring? Where do you think the opportunities are, you know, for this team, where a strength possibly could be and whatnot?
Yeah, totally. Honestly, I think one of our biggest strengths is going to be the maturity of the team. You know, we were very junior heavy last year. We started off really hot, then it kind of fizzled out towards the end. And I think basically the chip on the shoulder will allow us to carry on throughout the entire year. You know, everyone knows the systems. Everyone everyone's going to play their game. And I think it'll be a good year. We our center fielder, Will Norris, is going very good Division I school, Wofford College, and he is unbelievable. And he got hurt a bit last year, and hopefully we have him for a full year this year, and he's exceptional. And so we're happy to have him.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So hockey first, baseball second. Wish you guys the best of luck. Let's do some cheesy twin stuff though before we let you go. Right. Okay. We'll throw out some questions and you guys answer at the same time. We'll see if it's the right, if it's the matching answer or not. Okay.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Favorite food.
So my answer like for Chris.
So do it, like a countdown?
Just shout it out. Just together.
All right. Ooh. I'm sorry. Am I doing it for Ryan?
Huh?
Am I doing it for Ryan or just our own favorite? I'm sorry.
That's actually a fun way to do it. Maybe let's just do it where you see your own food, preference.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. So we'll ask that again. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Favorite food. Go.
Pizza. Chipotle burrito.
All right. Then burrito and pizza. That's okay. We got that covered. Okay. Favorite dinner cooked in the house by someone?
Definitely steak quesadillas.
I was going to say spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay, so totally different on that one too.
We are different.
Favorite movie?
Talladega Nights.
I'm probably going to go Grown Ups.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I forgot about that one.
Grown Ups is pretty, it's a riot, right?
Yeah.
All right. What else can we ask you? Favorite hangout in Andover activity.
You know, I would say hang out one of our buddies' house. That's pretty lame, though.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Going to a driving range. That's a big one. We have
Everyone goes to driving range. Get some ice cream, but other than that, it's probably going to our buddy's house and doing a good fire pit. We do a lot of those.
Yeah.
A lot of all fire right. pits are really fun.
So you might be in agreement on that one. But
We are in the same friend group, so we typically do the same stuff every time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the Gillette brothers here have a lot of differences we've discovered, you know, not always the same. And especially what's not the same is the college choice, right? So yeah. Ryan, we'll start with you. Head into Bowdoin officially.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. What made you make that decision?
For sure. So I want to say it was late July. I went up for there for a visit, and after they saw me play, and it was awesome. I love their campus. It was absolutely beautiful. It was a great location, Brunswick, Maine, right on the water. And then their baseball field was really, really cool. So it's a brand new turf field. You're pretty much on it all year. It's surrounded by woods, forests. It's really cool. It's like a nature field. And then the thing that really stood out to me was the coach, for sure. Coach Conley at Bowdoin, the head coach, was, you know, just a great guy. He was super funny, happy guy. He seemed like a great coach and definitely someone I wanted to play for. And one of the biggest things is he really wanted me to play for him. So I felt like he wanted me there. I felt like that really persuaded me too. And then obviously the biggest factor was the academics. I mean, how I could have said no. It's a NESCAC school, really great school. So I'm super excited with it, super pumped, and can't wait to get there.
Yeah, the NESCAC has an Ivy League feel for Division III, right? 100%. Chris Gillette, Amherst, also a NESCAC school.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually had a very, very different route than essentially the normal NESCAC route. So I was initially going to UMass Amherst. As committed there last October, I want to say. I was committed there throughout the entire fall, winter, and spring. As time went on, I kind of realized I just want to go to a smaller school. And so I decommitted in June, I want to say, late June, early May. Mm-hmm. And so played the summer season out a bit. And what turns out, the UMass coach is really good friends with the Amherst college coach. Mm. You know, me loving Amherst, the town, already familiar with it. This is awesome. So the Amherst coach, you know, saw me play and the stars aligned and he gave me an opportunity to play there. And I love the town, love the feel, and I love Amherst College. You know, it's a great campus. and excellent school, and in NESCAC. So I got to play my brother. That'll be fun. Yeah. So it was a no brainer for me, and I'm really excited that I got the opportunity.
And Ryan, that matchup, would that be probably like a weekend doubleheader kind of thing because it's a conference rival?
Yeah. So I think they play each other, I want to say once every, if not every year, every other year. And, you know, because it's a pretty far drive, then I think it would be a weekend series for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you ever, Ryan, faced Chris in a formal capacity in an actual game?
I have not only never faced Chris in a formal capacity, but also I've never faced Chris in general ever.
Never gone up to the plate against your brother?
Never gone to the plate against my brother. Never once. I've always been behind the plate. And so I don't know. If that were to happen, you know, in a college game, I don't really know how I'd
be able to handle that. I mean, nothing. No practice. Nothing. Never, scrimmage. Inter-squad scrimmage. Nothing.
Never once.
Is there a reason? It just hasn't happened.
I guess I feel like if one of us were to succeed a certain way, the bragging rights would be so in favor forever that we mutually agreed not to, just because we didn't want to lose that badly.
All right. Well, Chris Gillette, if and when it comes, maybe mm-hmm. next spring, the spring after, who knows? Mm-hmm. What's the approach? Maybe you can whisper it so he doesn't listen.
Oh, yeah. The approach, if I'm going to be honest, I'm just going to try to throw as hard as I can to him. You know,
if it hits him, doesn't matter.
I mean, I do want to say he knows literally every single pitch of mine. So,
yeah,
I mean, but at Amherst, hopefully it can change some things up. So I can maybe try something new against him, maybe fool him.
All right.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to be a little juiced up, try to throw it right by him. So I'm excited for that.
He says, bring it, Ryan. What do you think?
Oh,
I think I'm definitely going to be a dead red heater. I know. probably going to be outside heater is what I'm going to be looking for, because I know he loves to throw it there all the time, you know, catching them. I know he can put it there pretty well. I know the curveball is a little bit of a sweeper, so if I don't see heater right away, I can probably be able to react to it. I would say I'm pretty worried about probably the cutter inside or anything inside. I'm probably pretty worried about if I would be sitting the outside fastball, but you know, I'm just going to kind of let the velo come to me. He's a dark throwing kid, so I'll let it come to me and just kind of, you know, let it carry the ball. So definitely going to be sitting here on that one.
All right. Amherst Bowden, we will mark it in the calendar for sure. There's going to be some proud smartphones being pulled out of pockets in that moment, I'm sure, if it happens, right? Well, Gillette Brothers of Andover, Chris and Ryan, thanks for joining me on the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. You've been a lot of fun. We'll be watching hockey. We'll be watching baseball. And best of luck to Andover this coming couple of seasons you guys are having.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll chat soon, boys. Have a good one. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you later.
See ya.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget, whether it's temporary or permanent. Granny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Granny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Granny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. We're back at it for our football report. And let's see what's going on in the Valley for opening weekend. It's here. Football's back. There's actually a game this evening in Lawrence. We've got Central Catholic hosting Franklin. That's two, you know, playoff teams, essentially. Franklin was a number one seed a couple years ago, and Methuen beat him. So they come into the Valley in Lawrence at Veterans Memorial to take on Central in a 7 o'clock Thursday night matchup. Great take there. And Friday, Lawrence and Lynn English. That's a lot of fun. Traveling to Lynn will be traveling up to Lawrence for that one. Greater Boston League team versus the Merrimack Valley team. Two Merrimack Valley teams going at it. Lowell and Billerica. Colley Stadium. That's a scrimmage. Forget that. A real game, is Methuen Lincoln Sudbury. That's a good one. Nicholson Stadium, 7 o'clock Friday night. And then Andover and Pinkerton. Andover crosses over into the Granite State. Not literally. They're hosting them at Andover, but Pinkerton's coming down. New Hampshire Power take on Andover. Good little tune-up for them. And that's pretty much it for the Valley. The next games won't be until Friday, so it's really more of a chock-full schedule. A lot of teams electing to take that bye on the Labor Day weekend week. So we'll see. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for tuning in to the Merrimack Valley. Thanks to our twin guests. Love it. We will be back next week, every week, msonewsports.com. Kelly Media is the guys that run the ship. So thank you, everybody. Talk to you soon.